Let's go to the media conference in Wellington now.
Across the Tasman. This watching brief means public health officials have been providing constant advice, including the measures taken by currently unaffected states in order to contain the spread of the current outbreaks. Yesterday was another record day for cases in New South Wales. And before our minds turn to the impact that has on travel, we want to acknowledge the impact it is having very directly on people's lives. COVID-19 is devastating. And so to the people of Australia, to the state premiers and to the government, you have in us a friend who is willing a speedy recovery for your people, communities and the whole country. But there is no doubt that the movement of people can complicate recovery. Of the 136 new cases today in New South Wales, 53 were symptomatic in the community. Not all of them are linked to known cases. Cases have already cropped up linked to New South Wales and other Australian states. Quarantine-free travel from New South Wales, as you know, is paused. And New Zealand currently also has a pause in place with Victoria and South Australia, which means pauses now cover approximately half of Australia's entire population. We've acted with an abundance of caution at every turn, and we will continue to do so. Right now, we're deploying staff from Immigration New Zealand to Australian ports to check that all travellers to New Zealand have proof of a negative pre-departure test. This means every traveller will be stopped and checked before they can fly. This further step will provide an extra measure of confidence for New Zealanders and has been part of our approach to change and adapt to the ever-changing nature of COVID. And there is no doubt it has changed in recent months. Since we set up quarantine-free travel with Australia some months ago, more than 200,000 people have flown between our two countries. When we set up the traffic light system for COVID-19, it was based on what we knew at that time about variants that were present and how it was moving through countries and communities. But the Delta variant has materially changed the risk profile. We've seen that contact tracing alone is unable to get ahead of this variant and that restrictions are absolutely necessary to stamp it out. In the UK, the 7-day rolling average of daily cases to last weekend was more than 42,000. In the last 30 days, 99% of cases have been Delta. In Indonesia, the 7-day rolling average of new cases to last weekend was more than 48,000. Capacity for whole genome sequencing is limited there, but analysis suggests the Delta variant is widespread. Malaysia, South Africa and Fiji are also seeing concerning rates of infection, and Delta continues to be the dominant variant. In the view of our health officials, there is greater risk now from the Delta variant than there was when we opened the quarantine-free travel arrangement with Australia. It is the government's duty to keep New Zealanders safe from COVID-19, and we continue to believe that the strongest health response is also the strongest economic response. This approach has served us well to date. So too is our willingness to adapt. COVID has changed, and so we must. It's on that basis that the Director General of Health has recommended and Cabinet has agreed to suspend quarantine-free travel with Australia. From 11:59 p.m. tonight, Australians will no longer be able to enter New Zealand quarantine-free. This will be in place for at least the next 8 weeks. At that point, we will reassess our arrangements. For New Zealanders in Australia, we are absolutely committed to getting you home. For the next 7 days, we will have managed return flights for New Zealanders from all states and territories. Only New Zealand citizens and those ordinarily resident in New Zealand will be able to fly home. While we have set the return period to 7 days, if we have not met the demand for Kiwis to return in that time, we will work with the airlines to extend those flights for a few days till we have brought all those who intend to come home. There are two states where return will have extra conditions. As you know, anyone who has been in New South Wales in the last 14 days can only return to New Zealand via a flight from Sydney and will still have to go into managed isolation for 14 days. That requirement remains unchanged. Those who have been in Victoria must have proof of a negative pre-departure test and must immediately self-isolate upon return to New Zealand and return a negative day 3 test before ending their period of isolation. For everyone else, you can fly home provided you have evidence of a negative pre-departure test, which is our existing arrangement. Once we've exhausted the demand for Kiwis to return, then the suspension of travel will be fully implemented. That means all incoming travellers from Australia will need to have a spot in managed isolation. There is considerable pressure on our managed isolation facilities at the moment, and my strong urging to everyone is do not travel to Australia over the next 8 weeks. We'll also be updating our official travel advice to reflect this. Before I wrap up, I do want to speak briefly to what we'll be looking for when we come to reassess the suspension in 8 weeks' time. Firstly, we do want the bubble to resume. We remain committed to it. And when I spoke to Prime Minister Scott Morrison this morning, I conveyed this view directly, but it must be safe. In the lead up to reviewing the suspension, we'd need to be certain that the outbreak in New South Wales and wider Australia is contained, that any remaining cases are generally linked, that we don't see the large number of cases we're currently seeing in the community. We'd want to ensure that New Zealand's elimination strategy would not be at risk from resuming quarantine-free travel. We've always said that our response would evolve as the virus evolved. This is not a decision we have taken lightly, but it is, we believe, the right one. I know this will mean many people will find themselves for a time separated once more from friends and family who live in Australia, and I know this announcement will be a disappointment to them. However, just as we have our alert settings for managing cases in New Zealand, we also have a framework for managing cases in Australia. Now is the time for a suspension to ensure New Zealanders aren't put at undue risk from COVID-19 and to ensure we retain our hard-won gains. Our team of 5 million has worked hard to put us in a strong position, both health-wise and economically, and we will not risk that. I'd like to now hand over to Dr. Ashley Bloomfield to explain more of the public health rationale behind this decision and also how we'll look in the next 8 weeks to the status of Australia. Dr. Bloomfield.
Thank you, Prime Minister. Kia ora koutou katoa. So just to outline the Ministry of Health's advice behind our recommendation to suspend quarantine-free travel with Australia. The overall public health risk from Australia as a whole is low, but it is increasing. So that means the risk to New Zealand from quarantine-free travel with Australia continues to increase. We have seen COVID-19, which is predominantly the highly transmissible Delta variant, has now spread interstate in Australia, mainly from the larger outbreak in New South Wales. And while outbreaks in Queensland, Victoria and South Australia currently appear to be contained, the outbreak in New South Wales clearly is not. We do hope recent stronger restrictions that New South Wales has put in place will result in a decline in new case numbers, but there continues to be a significant number of cases who were in the community while infectious, and that is a cause for concern. The other important factor we took into account was that quarantine-free travel between the two countries is designed to be in place in a situation with no or very limited community transmission, to ensure that people can freely travel between and not present a risk to either country. That's clearly not the case. Quarantine-free travel was never designed to manage the risk of transmission between Australia and New Zealand. However, since the arrangement began around 3 months ago, we have had to respond rapidly, including undertaking almost daily risk assessments to manage potential risks to New Zealand. Among other things, this has put additional pressure on our overall response, and that includes on our managed isolation facilities. So a suspension with Australia is intended to provide time for Australia, and particularly New South Wales, to manage the community outbreaks in place there. We have and will remain in daily contact with our health colleagues in Australia to monitor the situation closely, and of course to ensure we are learning from their experience in responding to the Delta variant. I do want to emphasise the significance of this variant, which is showing itself to be much more transmissible than earlier variants of concern. The experience in New South Wales makes it clear that even jurisdictions with very strong public health capability and capacity for testing and contact tracing have been unable to get ahead of this variant. And this development has been a very important factor in the advice we have provided to suspend the travel bubble with Australia. And our team is considering actively what this means for our own testing, contact tracing and overall response to COVID-19. What is clear is that an incursion of Delta variant will require a swift and forceful response, and we are ensuring that we are prepared for that. And indeed, that is what we did when we recently had a case in Wellington. So the Ministry's overall public health advice is that all travellers returning from Australia should monitor for symptoms, check for any updated locations of interest in Australia and the places they have been, and follow the advice of the local jurisdiction, whether they are in Australia still or back in New Zealand. Anyone who is in Australia currently and wanting to come back to New Zealand, but who was at a location of interest in any state or territory at the specified times, must follow the local jurisdiction health advice regarding quarantine and testing, and must not travel to New Zealand within 14 days of exposure. As the Prime Minister said, anyone in Australia who has been in New South Wales in the previous 14 days must not travel to New Zealand until that 14-day period has passed. Anyone in New Zealand who has been at any of the current locations of interest, or indeed newly identified locations of interest in any state or territory in the last 14 days at the specified times, should immediately self-isolate and contact Healthline for advice on testing. And there is a Section 70 notice under the Health Act in place that makes this a legal requirement. In addition to these measures, as the Prime Minister has said, anyone returning from Victoria is required to self-isolate for 3 days and do a day 3 PCR test and remain isolated until they receive a negative test. Our contact tracing system will be contacting these people on day 1 and on day 3, and then anyone who hasn't returned a negative COVID-19 test in our system after day 5 will be followed up. Again, a Section 70 notice under the Health Act is in place that makes this a legal requirement. Back to you, Prime Minister.
Thank you. I'll ask the Minister for COVID-19 response to join us at the podium, and we'll open up now for questions.
Prime Minister, the fact that you're saying that people are now going to be checking everyone's actually had negative COVID tests, are you saying there's people who've been coming into the country?
We've actually had comprehensive test checking at the airport to date. I've just been told travellers in Queensland right now are being told they cannot even check in unless they're producing that information. But we are making sure that we've got decent spread across the country, not just in some of those areas that have been considered higher risk. We have, over the course of the pause with some states, have some travellers trying to come into New Zealand who have been in states where they are not meant to be travelling from. And that does demonstrate to us that despite the best efforts of checking, we are picking those individuals up, but they do still pose risk.
Do you have numbers on those that have been coming in from where they shouldn't be?
My recollection is over 100. But we have picked them up. So that demonstrates the system has worked and the job there has been done, but it does still pose a risk.
How do you mark them all?
We identify them as having from their origin of travel, we identify them. In some cases, they end up in quarantine as a result.
What are the forecasts for the number of people who will require MIQ spots, and how are you going to accommodate that?
Well, of course, the only individuals at this stage who will need to go into managed isolation are those from New South Wales. And so those individuals are already aware of that requirement.
How many spots are you going to need?
So that, just to be clear on that, there is no requirement being added here for quarantine. It's what we've already identified for travellers from New South Wales. All other states are able to return with their pre-departure test. Victoria has some additional requirements, but we are not asking anyone new from this change to go into managed isolation. Do you mean beyond the week of return?
You've given them a 7-day window, right?
Yep.
So,
they will.
There's a deadline now. What kind of pressure does that put on MIQ?
So I'll give an initial response now on hand to the Minister. My strong message to every New Zealander who is in Australia right now, who has no intention of staying there long term, is come home. We're giving you 7 days so that we can clear the demand for any New Zealander who is currently in Australia and does not intend to stay. If you stay beyond that period of time, you will have to enter into the MIQ booking system with everyone else. And at that point, we cannot guarantee when you'll be able to get a voucher. So my message is come back now.
If I just quickly run through
the numbers, we know from our immigration data that around just over 20,000 New Zealanders, since the Trans-Tasman bubble was opened, just over 20,000 New Zealanders have travelled to Australia and have not returned back to New Zealand. The spread of that varies across states. By far the three biggest states, which account for the vast bulk of that, are Queensland, New South Wales and Victoria. Within New South Wales, it sits at around 4,000 to 4,500 people. We have around just about 1,200 in our MIQ facilities at the moment, and we've got a few more still coming in over the next few days as we fill up the 1,000 rooms that were allocated for the first fortnight. We are getting more than one person per room on average, so we're getting a number of couples and families coming back. That allows us to accommodate more people within the rooms that we have available, and we'll keep going through that with New South Wales because they cannot return without coming through MIQ. But for everyone in the rest of Australia, we want them to come back in the next 7 days so that they don't have to go through MIQ. As the Prime Minister has indicated, MIQ is pretty full, and we're not going to have a lot of extra rooms available for people who are wanting to leave their delay their travel back to New Zealand. If they want to guarantee that they can come back, they should do that in the next 7 days.
Yep, and then I'll come to you. Yep, so we'll leave plenty of time.
Why are you trusting people coming back from the state of Victoria to self-isolate but requiring others to go into a more formal centre?
You can very much see the very different status of outbreaks between New South Wales, where you've had over 130 cases reported today, versus what is happening in Victoria. So the status of the outbreaks are vastly different, which is why we're asking for different responses for those New Zealanders who have been there. The threshold in New South Wales, given the fact that it is very clearly in the community, we're asking people to go into MIQ. For Victoria, it'll be a two-step process. Pre-departure testing, and then a test once they've come back to New Zealand.
That's the Prime Minister taking some questions from journalists following the announcement that the bubble with Australia will be suspended for at least 8 weeks. No new people going into quarantine, still quarantine requirements from people coming back from New South Wales. The Prime Minister encouraging all New Zealanders to come back in the next 7 days. And if they come from Victoria, they will be required to self-isolate until they get a day three test back here in New Zealand. Well, with his response now to those announcements, I'm joined by epidemiologist Professor Michael Baker. Hello there.
Yeah, kia ora, Jesse.
Is the government doing the right thing here?
Look, I think it's a close call between this option and something that would have kept the bubble open with maybe a couple of states like Tasmania and Western Australia that have actually managed the elimination approach very effectively. But, I can understand why they're doing this. I mean, it is certainly, from a logistic point of view, it's much simpler to pause travel from all of Australia. And also, just keeping maybe links to a couple of states, they're quite small volumes compared with the large eastern seaboard states. So I can understand why they're doing this.
Yes, and historically those inter-country, well, those interstate borders have been a little leaky in Australia, right? So you could suspend travel to New South Wales, no guarantee that someone might not get through to Queensland and we somehow get a case that way.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. I mean, most of the time Australia is acting like 8 separate jurisdictions in terms of how it manages the pandemic. If they get a hot spot in a neighbouring state, they shut the border. But we know it is slightly porous, as we saw recently with the removalists, I think they were, who took the virus from Sydney to Melbourne. So that is the problem. And we've seen the same thing in New Zealand when we have, I think, you know, with very good intentions, limited travel out of Auckland when we've had an outbreak there. It's been quite hard to sustain, and people do have reasons to cross the border, and the same thing's happened in Australia. So I think this is understandable, what the government's doing.
Do you have confidence now that New Zealand is relatively well insulated from that Delta variant? We've seen how out of control it is in New South Wales at the moment. Does this give you confidence, this announcement today?
I think this closes off one way in which the virus could be introduced, and we saw that with the scare we had in Wellington a few weeks ago with an infected traveller from Sydney who obviously infected his partner and then went back to Australia and could have infected thousands of people here. So we know what's possible now with this virus. we've obviously back to our MIQ system, and also what happens at borders and seaports. We are still connected to the world. We're still vulnerable, but I think this does reduce it. But I do note, you know, currently we have these three ships where most of the people were infected on the two fishing vessels. I'm not sure what the final tally will be on the container ship. But this is a big reminder that we have all of these connections, not just for our airports, but for our seaports and many different occupational groups. So we are, of course, a trading nation like every nation, and we are vulnerable still.
Anything else you'd be doing right now?
Well, I'd be really learning from what's happening in New South Wales at the moment with the speed of transmission there, and saying, what I mean, they have an absolutely world-class contact tracing system, and it's not keeping up. So I think that's a very sobering reminder for New Zealand, because we also have a good contact tracing system. This virus appears to have a shorter incubation period, and obviously one case infects a lot more cases in each unit of time, so the exponential curve is just that much more explosive. So we've got to look really at every aspect of our border systems, our contact tracing, and also myself and many of our colleagues think we need to urgently review our alert level system, because it was for a different virus from a year ago. It needs to have greater use of mandatory masking. I think the government's looking at making signing in to high-risk indoor environments mandatory. I think we have to do those things, because they're in place in Australia and they're still struggling.
Great to chat to you. Thanks so much for your expertise.
Yeah, thanks, Jesse.
That's epidemiologist Professor Michael Baker with his reaction to the announcement this afternoon.